the Sports Talk with Devin Wave recap.
Viking Harry, Ram Chiefs,
and any given Sunday, anything can happen.
What we think so far. Lakers, were they oversold?
Welcome to the Sports Talk with Devin Wave briefcast.
One of my favorite sports-related events of the year is the NFL Draft. And no, it's not because I'm chomping at the bit to proclaim some obscure six-round draft pick the next coming of Tom Brady. And it's not because I'm some draftnik that has been making and revising his very own mock draft since May of last year. I like the NFL Draft because it's reality TV at its finest. It's truly life-changing, and it happens right before our eyes. We get to witness unbridled emotion from players, their family, friends, and new fan bases. And we see emotions from shouts and screams of celebration to the barely controllable tears that seem to reflect the reward for years of personal and family sacrifice. Right before our eyes, we see the excitement of the infinite possibilities this moment has brought these young players. The NFL Draft is a fantastic couple of days that seemingly spreads joy to all the folks connected to all the players whose names were called as they were drafted. But what about those players whose names weren't called? More and more we have seen the names of young men of the SWAC and MEAC and CIAA and other conferences go uncalled as players from these HBCU conferences have gone undrafted. Once upon a time, the floodgates from the HBCU pipeline flowed mightily and directly into the NFL. But over the years, that flood became a trickle. And this year, that trickle trickled out. Because for only the second time in 40 years, no HBCU players were drafted. Zilch. Zero. Nada. Not a one. And this happened despite the renewed national interest in HBCU football, and despite high-profile events like the Legacy Bowl and ancillary showcasing opportunities that event provided. And it even happened despite the seemingly irrevocable perks that came with Coach Prime Deion Sanders in his short stint at Jackson State of the SWAC. None of these wonderful things that have been happening for HBCUs resulted in a single HBCU player getting drafted this year. However, this isn't just an HBCU problem, it's an FCS problem, formerly known as 1AA. The entirety of FCS schools, which include most HBCUs, only had 12 players drafted in 2024 and 11 in 2023. But why is this happening? Why is it happening to FCS schools, and why is it happening especially to HBCUs? Because we do know, after all, if PWIs catch a cold, HBCUs catch pneumonia. When you look at it, there are several reasons this is happening, but they all boil down to primarily one reason: money. HBCUs are smaller schools with smaller athletic budgets, with smaller opportunities to break through the dominance the FBS schools have in virtually every area. Even understanding that bigger ain't always better, it has to be acknowledged that the money spent by FBS schools on recruiting, developing, and promoting football players is astronomically more than HBCUs can afford to do. If that wasn't already an unfair advantage, the introduction of name, image, and likeness revenue has further heavily weighed in favor of the bigger schools. Teaming that with the efficiency and widespread use of the transfer portal, the uphill battle has gotten even steeper. We've already seen countless high-level players leave FCS schools for larger institutions with greater financial benefits and more. Looking into the future, the hope is that HBCUs don't become a minor league-like feeder system where the bigger schools, the FBS schools, can come and plunder the HBCU talent pool. So what can alleviate some of these problems? There are things that we, lovers of HBCU football, can do to try to stem the tide. The first thing we can do is continually celebrate the wonderfully unique culture of HBCUs. I'm sure that playing in the big house in front of 109,000 folks has to be amazing, but even something like that doesn't measure up to a SWAC homecoming, and I don't care what school you're talking about. The experience is totally unique and unlike anywhere else. We have to celebrate that. We can also support the players, create a community around them by getting to know them better. We can watch and stream HBCU games every chance we get. We can subscribe to the publications, podcasts, and channels that talk about HBCU football. We can click on those stories and get to know these young men and in turn talk more about them and create a community around them. Finally, we can show HBCUs the money. We can contribute, whether it's writing a check to the athletic department or by buying memorabilia or season tickets. And not just season tickets for you and yours, but maybe a pair or two for kids in the neighborhood who wouldn't otherwise be exposed to the HBCU experience. Because after all, we know that all money ain't good money, and you don't want to leave home if home really feels like home just for a few more dollars. We can enhance the experience and create a sense of family, and it's hard to leave family for a few dollars more. So if you create that love and that experience, maybe that'll deter some of these players leaving for a few dollars more, and also develop, maintain, and retain great coaching to get these players to the next level. I do want to address the players at HBCUs who didn't get drafted. We know through history, and I've been covering the game for a long, long time, this isn't the end of your journey. Keep fighting for your dream. Do everything you can. Work hard to make your dreams come true. And when you make it, remember those young men behind you and go back and support your schools. Come back and help coach and mentor those players. Help financially support that athletic department when you can. I've covered the SWAC for 30-plus seasons. It is a tremendous conference. And I mean, not even mentioning the MEAC, but just the SWAC alone, which I personally cover, it's a tremendous conference. The competition is great. There is NFL caliber talent that we get to see week in and week out, and we want to continue to celebrate that. We on the sideline have to do all we can to make sure that the HBCU experience is as special moving forward as it's always been. And in turn, we may enhance the opportunities to nurture these young men and develop them and help them get to the next level, whether it's in the classroom or on the playing fields. But what are your thoughts? Give me your thoughts. You can call us on the sports line, 832-941-6614, and give us your thoughts, and you might end up on the very next podcast. Please be on the lookout for the next full-fledged episode of the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast. Again, call the sports line. Also, join us on the Facebook page, the Sports Talk with Devin Wade group. Subscribe to the YouTube channel because we do have video content coming up. The channel is The Devin Wade. If you can't remember any of that, please remember these four things.
Number one, I don't do no favors after 6 o'clock in the evening. Two, I ain't got no money. Three, I'm not harboring any fugitives from justice. And four, bye.
This has been the Sports Talk with Devin Wade podcast. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter @WadesWord. Thank you for listening.